Tonight we have a teaching from Father Rick.
I think that John's right. What we heard today, I think, is something that we have to keep uppermost in our minds, because we have to also be well aware of the fact that the devil is really running rampant in our world. And he has one goal, and that is to literally destroy the world. He wants what we have to be brought down, and he is working hard to achieve that, and he is being successful. When you turn on the news, you see that there is so much anger and hatred and activity that is so contrary to the gospel message. And I think we have to be aware of that. And again, it's not that we walk around and try to point fingers at people and condemn them, but that we ourselves have to decide that we will be a people who really begin to pray for our world, for our country, for our church, for people individually, because we are in a very treacherous time. And one of the ways that this happens, I think we honestly can see it in our government right now, that there is a real bias against God, against Christianity, against maybe even Catholicism itself. But there's a hatred, and I think it's going to boil over into a real anger for what we believe and what we put forth. And so I think we have to become a people that want to pray for our world. I think it's that we become a people that we pray for our church, and we pray for our own community. Because what God wants is for the church and the world and these groups, these Christian communities, to grow, to be the genuine seed that begins to have an effect in our world. And that means bringing people to a real, genuine change of heart. And that isn't going to come overnight, and it's not going to come because we get angry at people or point fingers at them or whatever, but more importantly, that we begin to be people who pray. When you go to church, I was talking to some people after Mass on Sunday, and they said, it's a shame that you don't see children at Mass anymore. You don't see young people at Mass. You don't even see young married couples at Mass, and maybe even middle-aged married couples or people. It's mostly older people that you see at church. And that's it, And I go to lots of different churches around here, and that's what you see. It's no different. Some churches may have a few more people there, but they don't have that many more young people or children. I was at one church that said we try to have a little scripture for the kids, and they stood at the readings. They said any those who would like to go and participate, and there was one little girl that came up. That was it, one little girl. Gave her the book, and off she went. But, before the pandemic, I would go to some of these churches that would have, they might have 12, 15 kids that would come up and go off. And the thing is that we're getting to a point where we don't know what we need, really. And I think that the thing that we have to understand is that it's not just a mere, well, people are lazy or people don't care or whatever. But again, I think it's still the work of Satan, that he is really making every effort to destroy Christianity, and it may drop even lower before it gets better. We know God promises that it will happen, but unless we ourselves take on that responsibility, it will take longer. That's why he always invites us to come and be strong in this, because he wants to build up what we have, and we have to be aware of that. You know, there's something I was reading this past week, which seems to be pretty much a sign of our time, which is called the spirit of Jezebel. And if you know who Jezebel was in the Old Testament, she was the wife of Ahab and the mortal enemy of Elijah. And it was when all of Israel pretty much turned away from God. And Elijah was the only prophet, and the priests that were there were the priests of Jezebel that practiced worship of idols. And of course, the big story was when Elijah called the people together to do the sacrifice, and the priest couldn't do it from the pagan world to bring God to bring fire down to destroy their sacrifice, but Elijah did, and he did it with a simple prayer. He did it with the idea of showing the power of God. Of course, after that, he slaughtered the pagan priests and had to take off because Jezebel was out to kill him. And the thing is that this is something that I believe in our society we are seeing more and more of. And it can be in our world. It doesn't just affect religion. Anybody that wants to achieve their own goals, and I think we're seeing a lot of that today, they want to set themselves up as the authority and the power. And I think we see that. And it can be on both sides. I'm not just saying it's one political group or another political group or whatever, or this faction or that faction. It's just that Satan is coming along and he's bringing people to the point where they are willing to do anything to achieve their goal. And violence and destruction is primary among those kinds of things. And this spirit of Jezebel is one that comes along and says, I can do that. I can put forth my thinking. And it can be lies, it can be traitorous acts, whatever it is, in order to achieve that goal. And it can be in churches, it can be in parishes. You know, sometimes you can have a group like a parish council, and all you need is to have one man or one woman on that council that creates constant havoc, constant problems, because they are pushing what they want to achieve and what the goals they want to have. And we may not pay much attention to that, but the goal of these people, and they may not even consciously be aware of it, but the goal is for them to get their way so that they wind up on top. The best example that I can show is in my own life. When I was a pastor, someone got in touch with me and said that there was a priest who'd taken a leave of absence and he wants to come back. into ministry, and they knew we had an empty room. And I said, yes, he can come live there. And he wasn't yet allowed to publicly say Mass. And he was supposed to live there and, I don't know, do some counseling or something before the bishop had a meeting with him and would reinstitute him into the diocese. And he was there, and he was kind of a quiet person. But after a while, I discovered several things. One is that he was allowed to say private masses. He wasn't allowed to say public mass. But in his course of events, celebrating these private masses, he gathered people from the parish around him. And he would talk to them. And the thing that he did is he told lies to them about me. And he told big lies. And he got a group, became a little bigger and a little bigger. And his goal was to get these people to go to the bishop and tell them to get rid of me, because he wanted to become pastor. He wanted to be the one who would be in charge. As he told them, I would make one hell of a pastor here for you people. And he didn't care about the lies. He didn't care the fact that he did other things. Some of, I don't know, because he would disappear from the parish. And he didn't say where he was going or what he was doing. And I have no idea what he was doing or where he was going. But he was working little by little to undermine what was going on in our parish. And he was driving a wall between people. People who sided with him and people who, for the most part, were on my side. A lot of people didn't know what was going on, but there were those who did. And the thing is that his goal was to get enough people. And he didn't have any great agenda, I could say, that he was going to subvert the church or anything. But what he wanted to do is he wanted to become number one. And that was his goal. And so he would always talk down about me. And he would always tear me apart. And he didn't care whether it was true or not. And I confronted him on that. I met with him and I says, it is true that you're telling lies about me. And he admitted it. He finally admitted it. You know, and I said, well, this has to stop. And I said, it might be best for you to leave here, you know. Well, he didn't want to leave here, and so I didn't push the issue until I found out he just continued to meet secretly with people and have other meetings and things like that. And just a very subversive activity. And finally, I just told him one day, pack up your stuff and go somewhere. Don't, you're not going to stay here any longer. And he left. And ultimately, other things came out about him. And the diocese dismissed him and had him defrocked as a priest. But the fact of the matter is, there can be people that do that want their way and are always pushing to get what they want. It can be in a parish, as I say, it could be in a parish council, it could be in any community where you have friction. I was at a parish where we had a very strong school board, and part of that board, this was when I was at St. Lawrence, and part of that was we had a bingo that ran in the parish twice a week and paid for all the tuition of the kids. The kids could come to school there for nothing. And we had a meeting of the school board that we were going to stop that because there was talk about the government giving us some money to help run our school. And if we didn't have any tuition, then we wouldn't get any money. And I went to the people that that ran our bingo and were part of a school board group and everything. And I said, this is what's going to happen. And they said, oh, no, it's not. And I said, that's how it is. And they kind of considered that bingo their baby. And when they found out about it, they went and talked against it. You know, and I had some people call and say, maybe we're making the wrong move. And I said, we all agreed, and this is the way we're going to go. And those people voluntarily left the parish because they did not want to conform. And so I think what we have to understand is that even in small groups, people can come along and have their own goal. I was talking to a group, a prayer group, that when their leader moved on, they got somebody in who was a real mess. And he had a desire to do this and do that, and basically to destroy the whole way this prayer group functioned. You know, and it was very hard to move him out because he had so many allies. But he wasn't doing what the prayer group wanted. He was going to force his ideas on them and say, this is how it's going to be and this is how it's going to be. And, you know, finally they were able, the group that directed it were finally able to move the man out and said, well, we're going to elect somebody else, you know. But it can be very real, and sometimes it can be very subtle, and we may not realize. And I'm not going to say that these people are in and of itself mean or nasty. They just push. They just push. And they may be very religious. I had some lady come out from church one day and just started to rant at me about one of the people in the parish who was a good person who volunteered his time, but was saying this person's terrible, this and that and the other thing. And the person finally blurted out and said, won't even allow me to lead the rosary, you know. And it hit me. Well, here's the person that has this idea that I should be in charge. And I went in and talked to the guy I've known for years, you know. He's very mild-mannered. He just volunteers. He's got the time. And he gives up. He's not at all like this other person was, you know. And so we have to be very, very careful that, you know, people can have good ideas. But also we have to understand, are they good ideas? Are they going to be what things that prosper us as a church, as a parish, as a prayer community, so that we can be all that God wants? And it's not so much that we go around and point fingers as it is that we become people that begin to really understand how much we have to pray for our world and for our church so that God can begin to touch hearts in the best way, because Satan will use people like that to destroy the church and to destroy our government. You know, look at what Hitler did. One man got people in charge and brought about such a horrible thing. And we see it, that this kind of thing can take over very easily. And it can destroy not only countries, but it can destroy what God wants us to have. So today, when we hear that the spirit of Jezebel, it's one of those that is at heart violent, because they don't care what they do in order to gain the power that they want. Almost always, they are in power. I had a friend who I thought was a really good person, but when I look back over his career as an associate, he was constantly butting heads with the pastors. He always had his way of doing things and only his way. And as a matter of fact, we were no longer friends, because one day he came and said, I'm going to do, this is when I was still pastor, he came and said, I'm going to do this in your church. And I said, I'm sorry, but I'm the pastor here and we do it this way. And he said, no, we're going to do this. And I said, I'm sorry, but that's not the way it is here. I'm the pastor and I'm the one in charge. And he said, well, then goodbye. And he walked away. We had been friends for 60 years. And because he didn't get his way, that was the end of it. So the thing is that we have to understand that what he wanted to do, I wasn't saying was bad, but it was not the way to go. And when we force people in such a way that we come along and we talk bad about people and we misuse our authority in that way, we are not building up the church, we're tearing it down. So today, yes, what we heard in our words from God is, yes, we have to forgive, we have to love, but we have to pray for them so that these people that do those kinds of things will actually have a change of heart and understand what's going on, because inside there is something not right and they really need to readjust their lives to know how to love God, how to love themselves, and how to best love others. So today we just want you to be aware of the fact that our world is almost bathed in this spirit of Jezebel. That is, everybody doing whatever they want in order to achieve whatever it is that they want to get. All you have to do is turn on the news in the morning and see how many people have been killed and destroyed by others because of this willfulness of me, myself, and I. And that's not what we're about. God tells us we have to love ourselves, but what has to be in context of how we love God and how we love one another.